Welcome, Popcorn Talk fans, here to the new episode of Jedi Alliance, episode 106. We are talking that new Star Wars Old Republic trailer, Betrayal, toy details from New York Comic Con, the new Han Solo movie news, and some Lego news. And we're trying out our second week of this new Duel of the Fates. That's right, things are always changing here. And of course, we're talking Star Wars Rebels. Coming up next, stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Oh my God, the worst intro ever, but hey, you're still here, you're still listening, you're still watching. That's all I care about, that's all Mark and I care about. Welcome to Jedi Alliance, everybody. We are going to talk about so many things today. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm exhausted, John. How are you doing?
This is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, I've been told. So let's do that.
Told every week.
Every week by the Jedi Alliance.
Well, we are here together.
Yeah. You've been under the weather. You've had a lot of stuff going on with you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this weekend I got a little bit of food poisoning. Yikes. Which sucks because I missed the Antilles extraction while I was on TV.
Yes.
And then my wife got sick, so I was taking care of her as well. And then we're working on a whole bunch of great stuff here at the studio. Mm-hmm. So all of that kept me from watching the episode. But I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, please. Apparently. Apparently.
I will ask you all of the necessary questions about it.
Sure.
Fill me in.
That
It'll
sounds
be great.
Great.
You know what?
You look good on that side of the table.
Oh, thank
John.
You. I'm doing my I got my Falcon. Can everybody see that? That means I'm an authentic Star Wars fan. If I wore a t-shirt, it means I'm an authentic Star Wars fan. That's what I've heard. That's what I've read on the internet.
You're a monster.
That's what I've heard.
Just because all of mine are dirty and my...
What? No, I'm not even talking about the fact you're wearing a Star Trek shirt.
It looks like a Star Trek shirt.
It's the
font. Yeah, it says my life is a progress bar because it's a picture of what I've been going through the past couple of weeks. And I thought it'd be funny.
How'd that work out?
All right, let's jump into it.
No. Guys, we're going to be, as you guys know, we're trying new things. As Mark mentioned last week, we're going to try new things on the show. We're trying new segments, new experiments. We just kind of wanted to make the show our own, so we've been exploring things. We really got great feedback on the debate we had last week, that fun debate about Jar Jar Binks, which was a blast to do.
It was.
Yeah, and so we think we're going to keep going, try new segments. We've got a special spy in here, which we're not supposed to talk about, which might come up later on in the next couple of episodes. You'll see.
You're the worst person ever.
I really am. I am. That's why I'm alone, because no girlfriend can trust me with any of her secrets. So anyway, let's keep going. Let's jump into the news. Let's do news from the HoloNet.
Brilliant. Absolutely love it.
I love that.
That's such a great
intro. I love
the
sound.
I love the... This is the Parade of Ewoks.
Yes.
From Return of the Jedi.
I wonder if that's going to come up later.
I have no idea.
Mm.
What a weird not segue. John, I didn't know you like to play poker with your cards facing out.
I like to win. I like you to see me winning.
It's them.
That's what I like.
It's them outlaw colors.
Yeah, that's right.
What it is.
I don't like to follow the rules. I'm not really good at it. All right. So for those of you who don't know, maybe you haven't been on the internet. Maybe you don't see things. You don't get a computer. You don't get a Wi-Fi. I don't know what your problem is. But you must have seen that new Star Wars The Old Republic trailer called Betrayal, which was fantastic. Six and a half minute trailer.
Mm-hmm.
What a trailer.
The Old Republic trailers have been some of my favorite in recent Star Wars because it's a completely different world. It's planets that we don't recognize. It's Jedi and Sith that we don't recognize.
Right.
This one especially hit home.
Yeah.
We have a little bit from the trailer, from the main crux of the trailer.
Yeah.
When this mother character, you can go ahead and play it whenever you like, folk in the booth. When this mother character is trying to rescue her daughter that was starting to show signs of dark side allegiance, Sith allegiance, and different sort of power than what the Jedi are comfortable with. Started having all of the tattoos on her body, and she comes up against a little bit of a resistance here, but it looks like her daughter is starting to, presumably her daughter.
Yes.
It could be a ward, could be whatever, we're not sure, is starting to like the dark side power that she feels.
It's a female Anakin.
Yes.
Which I love so much. And you see, we get the lightsaber, we get the familiar sounds, we get her. And this is very female-based, female-oriented, going along with what we saw at Force Awakens, we're seeing with Rogue One. Women are taking center stage here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great the way it's done. She's hardcore, she's badass. Look at her doing all these moves. Just everything. And look how believable this is.
It's a good fight, whether it's an independent production.
Yes.
Or this is from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's not all lightsaber duel.
Yeah.
Because she put it away for a time. She also looks like she is of a royal guard of some sort.
Yeah.
And the yellow lightsabers suggest the same sort of faction that we saw in the last update as well, right, with the two brothers.
There's even a Palpatine kind of thing because she's like got almost no hair. Mm-hmm. You see her face kind of obscured, kind of more darker, maybe even affected by burns. But then this is so great. They're so believable dragging the mom away. What you would think is the mom or the caretaker. We're not sure what their relationship is 100%. And then you see the gentleman who came and took her at the beginning, the evil guy.
Yeah. So we're not showing the entirety of the trailer. No. Highly recommend you go watch it yourself. We just showed the main crux of it. The ending is amazing.
Yeah.
The intro is beautiful. And it's that type of silent storytelling that makes people just crave an Old Republic movie. Something Old Republic.
Couldn't they do it like this? Couldn't they do it this kind of animation? This kind of, because it's so close to realism that I think you could get away with it. You know, it's not like what we saw years ago with that video game that they tried to do with Ming-Na and Alec Baldwin, Final Fantasy, when they tried to Final Fantasy, right? That was like an initial attempt at trying to do something like this. This is way more advanced, and I could see a whole movie of this.
Well, and funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. On another show that I host here on Popcorn Talk Network, Video Game Movie Anatomy, we talked all about Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
Yes.
Go check that out. It was a good time. We just ripped it to pieces.
It doesn't hold up?
It holds up a little bit. That was funny. I almost believed you for a second. Going along the line of video game cinematics, there's arguably the most popular video game in the world right now is a game called Overwatch.
Yes.
And what they do is the gameplay is as such that gives you hints into the stories and relationships with the characters.
Yeah.
And they release these remarkable in-engine animated shorts featuring the characters that flesh it out even further. So it's not like you don't have to have the game to figure out the story.
Yeah.
And anytime one of these new trailers comes out for Old Republic, I always go back and watch all of the trailers, even with these are supposed to be teasers. But if they just go, once the saga is over, once that update is over, if they release all of the cinematics of that, as a movie, as a TV show, as an episode, or whatever, I think it would do gangbusters and just show how viable the Old Republic branch is.
They have great names too. I mean, the woman we saw there, her name is Senya. The name of the daughter is Valen. Like these are great names that feel
very and also very Star Warsy.
Yes, but very Knight Star Warsy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's got that combination, and so I would love to see something like this as an entire movie. That'd be a blast. I mean, obviously not in the theaters. Probably wouldn't even screen in the theaters. Maybe for one night, but if you could do a high end Blu-ray, it would be fantastic.
If you can give a theatrical run to Clone Wars.
That's
true. Which evolved so much from from that initial screening.
Yes.
You can put this, like, they're Fathom events where they stream one thing and people go out. There's a great service. It's called Tug, TUGG, where you can say, hey, we want to show this in theaters, but only if enough people buy tickets.
Right.
So they get the space.
Oh, that's smart.
And so they don't confirm the screening until, we have 100 people and tickets are $20 a pop.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we'll show it.
Wow.
We can afford to rent out the theater for this one night.
So
there's totally a possibility for that. And people have been wanting more different sorts of animated Star Wars.
Yeah.
This fits right in.
Agreed. And speaking of possibilities, let's move on to our next story. Admiral Ackbar's distant cousin is supposedly rumored to be in Rogue One. One of the toys coming out of New York Comic Con was for Admiral Raddus. Let's take a look at that. There you go. Look at that. It looks like that's a toy. It looks like that.
Looks so pissed.
Doesn't he?
He's an angry man.
The Mon Calamari, I don't think the Mon Calamari smile. I mean, remember like when they won the war, Ackbar didn't go, fist pump with a big smile. He just slumped into his chair.
Finally.
It's over, finally. You know, that kind of thing. So you're not going to get that guy. So I like this idea. It's a younger version. There's rumors that the guy who played the original Admiral Ackbar stepped away from a convention, say he canceled an appearance because he had to work on a film. The rumor that could be this is the film that he worked on Rogue One, doing this character, which would be fantastic.
Before he passed?
Yes, before he passed.
Wow.
Well, of course, before he passed. He's not going to do it when he's dead.
Well, I didn't know how up to date you were in the Star Wars biz.
Oh, my God.
I love you, John.
You're always trying to catch me out.
What I am. One of my.
I don't have any pants on.
What was that planet with the clouds?
I'm killing you. I'm going to kill you.
I'm kidding, Outlaw.
Four wins in a row.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Tim Rose. That's the guy's name. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The thing that I liked about this article is it showed more from the Mon Calamari species, and that Raddus comes from the colder side of the planet, and it's toads,
right?
And that's what I like about everything that they've shown for him is we get more about the species that we thought we knew,
yeah. And the disposition is going to be different. You already imply the word toads. You imply the idea of toads. It's a disposition that's completely different than what we see in Akbar.
And from a colder climate, the look on his face, he's going to be a harder, colder person.
Which you need because the film is supposed to be grittier and harder. Mm. So logically, you'd make the characters coming in that vein as well. The toy. What do you think of the toy? Do you like the toy? Do you think it looks good?
I do.
Would you own it? Like you own the toys you brought in last week?
That I still haven't, didn't have enough time to put out? Yeah, yes. Totally. Well, of all of the... I'm a fan of the background characters.
Sometimes I can't tell if I'm criticizing you or you're criticizing you and you're using my words to criticize yourself. I don't know.
It's a little bit of all.
Okay, fine.
I like stews. And that makes a good stew. I like the background characters, the bit characters that come in now and again. Yeah. Prune Face.
Yes.
I'm not putting him on the same pedestal as Prune Face. No. Perish the thought. But he would be one of those characters I'd be like, yeah, that's Raddus.
Yeah.
Like, people go, who was that? He was only in the movie for like 5 seconds. You shut up about Raddus. All right?
Well, Akbar
Rad is in his name.
Yeah, true. Oh, wow. Wow. Just keep going, like, fade into the brick. And like, that would be amazing if you could do that. No, that's great. You're right. Absolutely right. And I think that's what's so good about this character here, because, once again, he's in gray. Like, it's just all of it is very much according to the theme of the film, according to the vibe of the film. Mm-hmm. So I'm such a fan of that.
I agree.
All right, let's move on to our next story, which is the big story of the day. No, it's not really. It's been a big story for a while. Yeah. There's been rumors of these tests. Well, we could confirm, that these actresses are being tested to be in the film, the new Han Solo film. We have Tessa Thompson, who you might have seen in Creed and Selma. She was fantastic in Creed.
Yes, she was.
I don't remember much in Selma. I only saw it once, though. Naomi Scott is going to be the Pink Ranger in the new Power Rangers movie, which if you've seen the trailer, which came out over the weekend.
It looks pretty cool.
It does. It really does. I was surprised. I'm not a Power Rangers person. I saw that trailer. I'm like, I'm going to go see this thing.
That's my childhood. I had all the Zords and stuff.
Yeah. And then Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz killed it. In Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes, she did.
Absolutely loved her performance. These are all amazing actresses.
And beautiful.
And the idea that we might get such a polarizing character from the comics involved will sort of make the non-believers understand the importance of Santa.
Yeah, agreed. And so you think it's going to be Santa?
I like the idea that it could be Santa.
Right. Are they doubling down on this idea that it could be Santa? Do you think, like, because of the comics, because of the reaction, do you think this is the way they'll go? Will they be married? Will they show that whole backstory about how they got together? Because you read in the comic books, it was a marriage of convenience for a smuggling thing they were doing.
I think if anything, they'll show parts of the relationship.
Right.
Because they don't need a romantic anchor for this, because the romantic anchor is Leia. But it can sort of show how the character evolved into the one we saw in episode 4.
Yeah.
And I think having a quote-unquote romance would be very helpful in conveying that.
Do you have a choice?
I think they're all fantastic actresses.
Yeah.
I think Zoe Kravitz can do... I mean, not to discount Tessa Thompson's performance in Selma or in Creed, but I like Zoe Kravitz's grounded, real character that she was in Fury Road.
Yeah.
And I think they're all great actresses, but I would just say Zoe Kravitz.
Well, I would agree with you to an extent. I think, but I feel like Tessa might carry the weight of the character of Santa a little more than Zoe. Zoe is a little more of the waifish vibe, I would say, whereas Tessa feels a little more lived in, a little more solid. Nothing against Zoe not being solid. I'm sure she's a very solid person. She's a great pedigree. I mean, Lenny Kravitz, Lisa Bonet. This is a good pedigree that she has in terms of performance. So she's a fantastic actress. I just think Tessa has this kind of, like, coming out of Creed, Tessa has this kind of power in the simplicity of her work that I really would want to see her as Santa Solo. But you got to see who can wear the outfit, who can shoot the blaster. It's really interesting. All right, Mark, you want to take the next one?
I do, yes. So I'm a big fan of the Lego Star Wars. I've been playing it a lot as of late.
You are.
On PS4.
Yes.
It's been great fun. My wife has been finding any excuse to play as BB-8 because you can just shock people.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot of fun. But they've been putting out a lot of DLC, and this one is a little bit more story-based.
Okay.
This is going to reveal how Poe escaped from the crash.
Right.
And we got hints about it here and there in the novelization.
Yes.
But here we're actually going to live it. And there's always a gray area whether or not Lego stuff is canon.
Right.
But this is probably going to be the best look that we're going to get, because they're not going to go back and reshoot stuff.
No. Are you excited? Are you excited to see what they do with it, though? Like, because I mean, there's people said Lego stuff's not canon. Is canon? Like, what's the situation? Since they're taking a story that's already established as canon, are they going to add anything to it, or are we just seeing a Lego interpretation of the same story?
Well, let's roll the trailer real quick. Let's roll the trailer real quick, and we'll sort of talk over that.
Sure.
I'm always a fan of the places that Lego can push.
Look at that.
Yeah. It looks the Lego version of this looks remarkable. Mm-hmm. They fixed all their lighting and their graphics and everything with the audio. Oh, another thing that makes it, that pluses it up, is it's Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaacs did
he's doing the voice?
The VO.
Nice.
And that's another thing about Disney contracts is it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're doing the Star Wars movie, you're also doing Disney Infinity. You're also doing Lego Star Wars. You're also doing theme park appearances. You're also doing that's a part of the contract.
That's how they get you.
And the mechanics that they started in the standalone game with like the cover based shooter, I think it will help people understand the type of person Poe is.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in expanding his character in that way. But I'm excited to learn more about Jakku.
Yeah.
We may or may not learn anything else about that planet moving forward.
Right.
So to get more involved, and it's super easy to find, you just go to your local game store and pick yourself up some Lego Star Wars. I'm all about it. Yeah. I love the Lego stuff. I wish more stuff would be canon than isn't.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about the Freemaker Chronicles a couple of months ago, which is coming out in the UK soon. If you missed it, or if you're trying to watch it on TV and don't watch it on the internet, there's a lot of stuff that they presented in that show that's like, why isn't that canon?
Yeah.
Why isn't Roger the last battle droid and the Kyber Saber being a main crystal?
Yeah.
There's so much stuff that the Lego stuff pushes to that I wish would be canon. This looks like they're edging closer and closer to that line and may even be crossing over into it.
Yeah, and I'm excited for this. I want to see everything Lego does, I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Whether it's canon or not, I don't care. Like, to me, it's more enjoyable just to see the inventiveness. And I've said this many times on the show, the inventiveness of what they do with the property. The way they explore it, the way they make fun of it, and still revere it at the same time. It makes you understand why you love it and understand that it can still be made fun of in a playful good way, as you would like with a friend when you're busting balls with a friend. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like what Lego is doing. They're busting balls with an old friend, which I enjoy. Speaking of animated stuff, let's get into our next segment, which is Rebels Rewind.
Music.
Nice.
We gotta go right into it.
Ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. So this week was episode 4 of the new season 3. Mm-hmm. There's no Bendu. There's no holocrons in this episode. It was called The Antilles Extraction. Why? Guess whose last name is Antilles? Guess whose first name is Wedge? That's right. Wedge Antilles, one of the most revered side characters in the trilogy, was highlighted and given a whole new canon of an origin story. He was a former Empire pilot, a pilot for the Empire.
Yeah, that I found out in the, unfortunately, some of the spoiler stuff for episode titles got leaked, and the first six, like, it talked about, Wedge is going to be a heavily featured character in the first part of the season.
Right.
So I was really excited to see all of that.
And then you didn't see it.
And then I didn't see it. So... How are you? You know, just
like I said, busting balls between friends. That's what we're talking about here on Jedi Alliance. No, this was such a good episode, Mark. When you see it, you're going to love it. And I hope you tweet out to the fans that you did see it and talk about your feelings about it. Because it's so much. This was such a good episode because we have been complaining, or at least I have, at least, and I've heard it on the internet.
This is a Sabine episode, right?
Yeah, this was Sabine episode. It's very Sabine heavy. Of course, Ezra did his things where he thinks he should be in charge. He should be the one leading the mission.
Meh.
Yeah, exactly. Like a young kid would. But they chose the right way to go about it. You had Sabine leading it. You had Ezra and Kanan above in another ship waiting around for them. And then you had the ghost there with Hera just waiting for the right time. They infiltrate the Empire Academy. You have this whole thing where they go in and explore, and she finds Wedge. She finds these two other pilots who want to escape. And then you have, what's his name?
Kallus
come in and with Governor Price, and they're investigating, trying to find out who is really helping them, like, defect, so to speak, or escape or whatever. And then just when they're trying to escape, they get caught. It's Sabine, it's Wedge, and the other pilot. I can't remember the other pilot. It's got the H name.
Hobby.
He fought in the Battle of Hoth. Mm. Yeah. Don't look at me like that with consternation and judgment.
No, no, no. I'm
Bespin. I know Hoth. I knew Hoth.
Hoth is on Bespin?
I'm just saying I knew Hoth. So anyway, they're there. And when they try to escape, They think they're going to be caught by Agent Callus. He's there, and then he helps them escape, which is a callback to your favorite episode from last year, or one of our favorite episodes, rather, Callus and Zeb stuck in the plane. And he says to them, he says, tell Zeb we're even. Boom.
All right.
I was like, what? It was so cool.
And I'm sure that probably freaked Sabine out, too. It's like, why did they need to be even?
Yeah.
What needs to be even?
Right. But this is such a great job by the show to do a callback to one of the most revered episodes of the last two seasons. Just a quiet episode between Kanan. I mean, between Karis and Callus and Zeb. It was such a good episode. To see them call back to it, I thought was so brilliant. And they stayed on course. And you get this idea of, like, now you have Wedge. Having this, even like, as if Wedge wasn't bad enough already, the fact that he was on the Empire side and then saw what the Empire was doing and then defected makes him even more of a revered hero in the lexicon of Star Wars. And so to me, this was such a great way to introduce Wedge into Rebels.
Do you recall what planet the Academy was on? Were this...
No.
Okay.
Should I?
No. I mean,
I only host a show.
About Star Wars.
Right.
Where you should probably watch the content that you cover on it.
Don't let this make it about you. It's called the Sky Strike Academy is where they were at.
Okay.
But I'm not sure of the planet. I'm sure there is a planet, obviously, logically.
Do you think... Well, the reason I brought it up is you think this could have been an opportunity to put some Lost Stars characters in the background?
Maybe. That's certainly possible, right? You have the game you can play with that is throwing them in... Because they're obviously canon, so why not have them show up? And you're not trying to put them into a movie. You can have them appear, pay reverence to those characters, keep furthering their stories along in canon. And it's fun to do that, because for those who are avid readers or avid consumers of all the media, you're able to tie these dots together, connect the dots together, and really enjoy that.
And this seems like a right amount of time to where they're just kind of starting out at the Academy to where we get... Everybody's character changing by the time A New Hope runs around, it turns out. But I think this also, just looking at the whole Star Wars universe as a whole, this could also serve. I don't know why tea makes me burpy.
I don't know why.
This could serve as an additional reason, an additional point that our characters from Lost Stars can look at and go, I can't, Wedge left.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
Yeah.
Why he just got the Rebels?
Yeah.
Like, it sort of connect. It makes sure that you realize that everything is connected.
But this is also what's fantastic about this episode is because once again we're seeing people with new hands, new ideas, new points of views on the old property and fleshing it out, adding more things to it, having people be logically on two different, having them be on one side and then switch over to the other, having them. Of course, he was a cargo ship pilot, and the Empire just recruited him. And who knows what they said to him? Like, because on a smaller level, you're not like, hey, he's like killing planets. You're just like, look, can I pay my bills?
Yeah,
give me enough to pay my bills?
And government consistent contracts?
Work? Yeah, I'll take it. You know, but then when you start, and that's what's so great, Wedge saw, because his heart is a good man, he saw what the Empire was doing with their power, and he was not comfortable being part of it anymore. Mm-hmm. And apparently he had sent a message about getting him, about defecting, which Sabine didn't know about. So this is like, where did the message go to?
Cool, I got your message. You got my message. Awesome.
Right. And Sabine's like,
maybe
sure.
Went to Dodonna's cell, maybe. Or another rebel cell, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so smart about this.
I love that whatever place Lando was on.
But we keep, oh, okay. Stop it. But we keep pushing this idea, which I really enjoy. And I'm glad that the creators and the writers are leaning into this idea of Ezra being a little too much about thinking he knows what the best thing is to do all the time. Mm. I love that we're starting to now lean into it, because there was a lot of backlash to it initially in the first 3 weeks from a number of people online who were saying they were sick of seeing Ezra thinking he should do everything. And the whole crew has to defer to Ezra all the time. I was leading the charge. And other people were feeling the same way.
Well, I was just going to say, that means the heel turn is working.
Yes, I guess so. Oh, good point.
Yeah, like they're making
a character
that people truly don't like and don't want to see that version of.
Yeah.
They've done a successful character swap to make us not want to see anything that Ezra is doing,
right.
Which will make it that much more interesting, which will make that many more eyes tune in to see if he changes back.
Well, and they killed Rake, who was one of the pilots who was trying to escape as well. Like, you have death here. I love that. And at the beginning, you see death because the TIE fighters just completely destroy that ship that they were trying to, that the rebels were trying to protect. This is good. This is good. This is darker. This is what Justin Ridge, this is what Filoni were talking about when they said they're going to make Rebels link up to Rogue One. They're trying to make Rebels real quietly and slowly darker and darker until Rogue One premieres, because that they wanted to connect up in some way. And that's, this is another furthering of that.
We're getting to that level of grime that was in A New Hope.
Yes.
That isn't necessarily dirty, but it's lived in.
Yeah.
Because Rebels started out as this really bright and colorful show. And as we talked about,
show.
Disney-fied
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
And it's slowly getting into the world of sharing with kids. And I have mentioned it before on the show, just like with Tron Uprising, is people... People die, and you have to understand what that does to people.
Yeah.
Like you can't just have a world where there's no death, that all happens. We took them away to prison. Yeah. Oh no, that's terrible. This is a world that kids need to see, and it's unfortunate, but it's better if it happens in this world than on the news.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see what you think if they did write justice to Wedge's character. I thought they did. I think giving him a more interesting. Backstory that can be mined for other things. The fact that he's with the Empire, they can mine him. They can pump him for information. They can find out what's going on. He will know how to fight them in a certain way. Maybe that's why he survived all these battles, because he knew how to fight these pilots, because he had been with them for so long. You know, and the Rebels talk about how they can't find enough pilots. That's also something that throws in, because they keep getting killed in these missions, and logically so, because they're fighting massive amounts of other ships that are controlled by the Empire. So logically, they're going to need more pilots, because they're getting shot out of the air.
Yeah.
It just makes the most sense. So why not have Wedge come in, maybe teach them a new way to fight, which keeps the pilots alive for longer, and that could change the whole thing. Little small things changing the entire scope, which I enjoyed. So we'll see what happens.
It's chestnut checkers.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I don't know what that means, but okay.
But I mean, there's more.
Is this a white thing? I don't know.
Instead of just moving the pieces, I got you, I win. It's stopping. It's thinking. It's the other side of the match that Thrawn is already winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of which, where has he been? It's been 2 weeks now.
He's planning.
2-3 weeks.
He's planning.
I guess he is.
He's making you really want to see him.
Yeah.
Like, we got him. He has a plan.
Yeah.
When's it going to happen?
Next week we have Hera's episode, which was going to be Hera focused, going back to her own planet. So this will be interesting to see now how. And this is smart. You got to give time to the other characters on the show. Ezra's already built in. Like, we already get that whole concept. But you need to flesh out the other characters so that when you unite back together to another mission all together, it's more interesting. You know, it's more fun. And you have their characteristics or the things that they do within those missions believable because of what we've seen before.
And we're asking less questions about, how are they doing?
Yeah.
And more focused on the adventure at hand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you happy about this?
I am. Did they mention that are we going to see her dad?
There is no mention about it just yet. She heads to her home of Ryloth with the rest of the Ghost Team and finds Imperials on her home world. So I imagine her dad will have something to do with that.
I believe in the old word, the poet, there's an old poet that once said, X gonna give it to you.
Oh.
He gonna give it to you.
What the? We're way off the rails today.
A little bit, but it's a lot of fun.
It is.
And we hope that you're having fun too. Do you want me to transition
yes,
to the next thing? All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for one of our favorite segments, and we may be giving it a break. It is the Mind Probe. That is where you go to our Facebook page at Jedi Alliance. You leave us questions, and we answer them here on the show. We picked some heavy hitters that we're going to spend a little bit of extra time on, because we're going to be revamping the Mind Probe segment. It will not be the same way as you know it. The only suggestion that I have is make sure to tune in live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are going to have live updates for how we're going to incorporate fan questions into the show. So you must be here in order to take part in those questions. Join us live. It'll be great. We're going to have some sort of spy that is in here become a part of the show, and we'll be able to we're trying to incorporate you more into the live show than just after the fact. So make sure to stay tuned to our Facebook page for updates, our Twitter page for updates, and here every Monday at 4 p.m. But for this last Mind Probe as we know it, John, you picked a couple of good ones.
Okay.
I picked some good ones. Why don't you go first?
Okay, am I the first person?
You are the first
person.
Okay,
great. Corey Donaldson writes in, hi guys, since I work as a courtesy clerk at a supermarket, what is a courtesy clerk? Do you know what that is? Is that a bagger?
No, I mean, I'm sure.
Is this like a custodial engineer is really a janitor? Like, I would need to
understand. Possibly. I don't know. Somebody works at a supermarket.
I respect it. Courtesy clerk. I dig it. Do you think that there are supermarkets in the Star Wars universe? I love this question. But it's huge. This question is huge.
Huge. It's great.
But supermarkets in the
Harvey
Star
Firestein.
Wars universe? No, that's not
what I
was trying to go.
And that's what I went for, and I totally nailed it, but it's not what we were going for.
All right, so the question is, do you think that there are supermarkets in the Star Wars universe? Because after all, our beloved Star Wars heroes, rogues, and villains need to eat after all. I just have funny image in my head of Darth Vader force choking some idiot for holding up the line at the supermarket because he or she decided to pay for the groceries in coins.
Well, if you want a look at what Darth Vader in a supermarket is like, why don't you just watch Chad Vader?
Chad Vader is the best.
Night Manager.
Yeah.
Those guys are hilarious.
That's such a great series.
Mm-hmm. And the man who voiced, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, but the man who voiced Vader, or Chad Vader, has done work with Star Wars as the voice of Darth Vader.
There you go.
So follow your dreams, kids. Do fan movies because you never know who's going to watch.
Right. I'm going to do one next week.
You should.
It's going to be a Latino Jedi. All right. So listen, what we're talking about here with this, I love this idea. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't think Vader would be in the supermarket. Vader don't do his own shopping. Let's make that clear. Vader's got an assistant.
It's Piet.
A few. Yeah. What do they even shop? Where would they shop? Like, do you think it's all like MREs, like the military have meals ready to eat on the ships?
I figure so. I figure for the Empire, I figure stuff that's manufactured, just pop it out.
Yeah.
Basic vitamin needs, whatever. And if you want real food, you have to go down to each planet. I don't think we have supermarket chains.
Okay.
But I think we may have people who own certain parts of land that travel to other sides of a planet, perhaps. And it's all it's outdoor markets.
I think it's a great question because, A, all we've ever seen is these small cities that are somewhat metropolitan, somewhat busy, but don't really have chain anything, right?
No.
And it's purposely done, I'm sure, by Lucas to keep that idea away from his property or his franchise at the time. But it would be funny to see a standard, like even a Lego, maybe in a Lego show, having like these little stand, like a chain restaurants or chain grocery stores.
Well, that's the thing about Lego is they use whatever Lego food they have.
Oh, that's
regardless. Like they just brought out a short for Jurassic
chicken leg
Jurassic World.
Oh yeah,
and the Indominus Rex really likes hot dogs. Like it doesn't eat people. It doesn't eat other dinosaurs. It just really likes hot dogs, and it chases after the dude who's in the hot dog suit at the hot dog cart. So that type of Lego stuff, I think, would be fun to see with Star Wars.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. What's our next one?
Garth Freeman asks, "Hello, fellows. Thank you for providing such amazing content. Keep up the great work." Thank you. And that's our question. Now, question. Did Han Solo keep the money he received from the Rebel Alliance for transporting Princess Leia in the droids in episode 4? He did receive the cash, correct? My memory has me seeing him loading the cash onto the Falcon right before the Battle of Yavin, right? Or Yavin, excuse me. Anywho.
Oh.
If he did... Yavin. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a Yavin guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, if he did, why didn't he pay Jabba the money he owed him? Always bugged me. Thanks again for an awesome podcast. May the Force be with you, Garth. Why didn't he pay Jabba the money right away?
Because he's a smuggler. What are you talking about? This is logical Solo. He is moving, shifting things around. Mm-hmm. And like we saw in Force Awakens, right? With Kanji Club. He was screwing them both over to keep the money to do what he wanted to do with it and get ahead, farther ahead in his life. That's what smugglers do. So I'm not surprised he didn't give Jabba the money. He's cocky. He's young. He thinks he can get away with it. You know, and obviously Jabba's sending bounty hunters after him. So he's certainly racked up a pretty high bill. And so I don't think he'd give the money back to him because he doesn't approve of what Jabba's doing in his own way.
Well, I figure if anything, he would send him like, all right, here's the first half. The other half is coming. And it's only like a quarter of the money.
Right.
You know, that's what I figured he would go with.
Yeah.
But
we're seeing in Freemakers, right? That Hutt is chasing them around because he needs that money back. And it's like, it's Shake, Master Shake, chasing them around everything. So this whole thing of smugglers staying alive, this is how they stay alive. It's always one step ahead. And I'm not going to break into an Aladdin song, but yeah, it's one step ahead.
No, I was going to do the same thing.
Nope, we're not going to do it.
One jump.
What did I just say?
The bread line.
What did I just say? No. So to me, I enjoy that. And this content. So this is what he did. And this is why he froze him. So because he got caught. It happens.
You do know I have to write that entire parody before next week, right?
What? Why?
One Hutt.
No. I disagree. Only if you perform it.
I did fine, whatever. I'll do it. I'll write it down.
All right. The next one's from Trevor Mitchell. If Vader is the one in the Bacta tank, in the Rogue One teaser, as has been rumored / vaguely confirmed, who would be capable of injuring him? The only logical characters in canon we know of would be Kanan and Ezra, Maul or Ahsoka, assuming she did survive their confrontation in season 2.
That's anybody. It could just be residual pain.
It doesn't ask you anybody. It says, who do you think, my friend?
You know who I think it was? Ooh. I think it was Obi-Wan at the end of episode 3. Whoa. And he's like, the thing is keeping him alive.
Yeah.
It's not healing him.
So
I think he needs regular dunkings in order to properly stay alive.
Yeah.
Like, that's our look into, if he has an intense battle with somebody, that took a lot out of him. So he's going to need a, probably a long dunk in the back to tank.
Right.
Yeah.
So you think this is right after three? He's still.
I think it's ongoing. I think it's just a just a condition that he has now because he was almost burned to death.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I like that. If the question is who I think could do it, my choice would be Ahsoka.
Yeah, if I had to pick somebody, I'd say that too.
If we're going
to
throw her in there, which would be the greatest reveal ever if we saw her in Rogue One. It would just be the greatest reveal ever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible, but it would be amazing if they did that. So if, that's my thing. Because I don't think Kanan and Ezra in their training would be at that level just yet.
No.
And I don't think Maul would get involved just
yet. I
think
the only person that we know of could be the Bendu.
Yeah.
I think.
Wow.
That could... Could you imagine if Darth Vader finds such a an amazing natural force wielder? I didn't even think about that.
Well, you just did, actually.
That's amazing.
Right?
I don't want to see it because Tom Baker's amazing, but think
about... You're watching genius happen.
But, but think about the confrontation that we could see between such darkness and such ambivalence.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be fun to have James Earl Jones versus Tom Baker on a voice-off. That would be amazing, going back and forth.
Pretty sweet, dude.
Little voiceover thing. All right, you want to take the last one?
Let's see. Yeah, we got enough time. This is from Kevin Ross.
Yeah.
If there's a funeral for Han,
does
Chewie get Han's medal from the Death Star as something to remember him by / their time together? It would allow Chewie to get the medal he didn't get at the ceremony.
And I did not know this was an issue for people. Like, this is way too deep of a dive that you're complaining that Chewie didn't get a medal.
Well, it's not treating him like a person. Like, he didn't contribute.
He's a Wookiee.
So?
He contributed, but, you know,
speciesist on me?
It's a human thing. And that's Leia had to decide between the two. We were still, at that point, deciding who she was going to be in love with.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave the medals to both. And so, you know, that was her way of kind of playing the field. It's smart. Mm. But Chewie, I think it's right. I'm just joking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, I like this idea that Chewie would get the medal, except that if you saw in Force Awakens, Leia hugged Rey. She never hugged Chewie.
Yeah.
So to me, I think they always treat Chewie a little bit like a second-class citizen. They all love him. They love him. But they don't treat him as an equal all the time. So I would be surprised if he got the medal.
Yeah, I think Finn is going to be the new Chewie bro.
Really?
Just from how they have their relationship in Force Awakens. I think moving forward, it's going to be like, you saved my life.
Yeah.
They both saved each other's lives.
Right, right.
So there'll be not necessarily a life debt because that was instantly taken care of, but it could be a fun relationship.
I think he's absolutely in the friend zone, and he will stay in the friend zone till the end. I don't know why people think it's going to be Finn and Rey. There's no way. He's in the friend zone. She kissed him on the head. Game over. That's game over.
Game over, man!
She kissed him on the cheek, maybe. When she kisses you on the head, you're a friend. That's it. It's game over.
Mm.
Put it away.
Yeah.
Unless she's your mom.
So I'll make...
then there's a little situation. All right, so... Let's
Let's move on. Do you have an intro this too?
Yes, go ahead.
Why not? Ladies and gentlemen, we tried a new thing last week, and we're going to keep it going. It's our Duel of the Fates. That's right. Last week, we started at a new version of Duel of the Fates where John and I have a duel on camera.
Yeah.
And we started it out with one of the most polarizing issues of the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
And that was Jar Jar Binks, Hero or Nuisance. If you want to see what that debate looked like, you can go to our Facebook page where we put just the debate, or you can watch our entire last episode on Popcorn Talk. But here are some of our favorite answers. I'll take the first one. Stephanie Daniel said, Jar Jar Binks is a hero!
Yeah.
He and the Gungans were used as cannon fodder for the Naboo people, but Jar Jar fought as a noble warrior against the droid army. Okay, luck. I mean, force was on his side, but they were still victorious.
What'd I say?
And I agree.
Jeff, what do you mean you agree?
No, we talked about this after our argument yesterday.
You think he's a hero?
Yeah. That's why I found it interesting that you... I've been talking about for months how I think he deserves redemption.
I think you're lying.
Dallo Felagus.
Don't lie to the fans like that. I was off air with you. All right, yes. Thank you, Stephanie, for supporting my point of view. Yes, go ahead. Jonathan Childress says, he was a nuisance because he was made for the same purpose as the Ewoks. Funny, that might come up again. Merchandising, and if I didn't say it already, merchandising. Yes, go ahead.
No,
Do you agree with that too?
I don't.
Do you pick a side?
I don't agree that he was for merchandising. I agree that he was for the younger market.
Yes.
But I don't think that's like, let's make dolls out of this funny weird. Let's make lollipops where you bite his tongue off. Whoever thought of that was disgusting.
Well, the 90s were a tough time.
Kim Evansgard says, Jar Jar is
the
a nuisance.
2000s rather. Yes, go ahead.
Jar Jar is a nuisance to the viewer, to me too. But in universe, he is a hero. Remember that? in many RPGs, luck is a feat or skill.
Yes.
It just so happens that luck is his main skill. And I totally dig the RPG analogy.
Yeah.
He rolled solid 20s on that.
Whoa. I've had those die before. All right, Eric Bay Anderson says, in respect of Mr. Lucas, Mr. Binks was a necessary evil, but far from a hero.
Why do I have to be Mr. Binks?
What? Who's? Why do you have to be Mr. Binks?
It's a joke.
Is that a Reservoir Dogs joke? Oh my God, stop it. As I was saying, his influence was used, quote-unquote, for both sides of the Force. The Gungans were just political tools. I think the Empire should have rewarded them all with a quick death for a sympathy vote. If you honor what they fight for, a sacrifice is justified. Eric Bay Anderson, you're basically saying that once again in a sci-fi movie, they should kill the black guy. That is not good. That is not good. So I will not agree with your point of view. I don't appreciate us saying it on the show, but I respect your right to say it, my friend. All right.
God bless America. So it was close.
America.
A lot of people were begrudgingly saying hero, which I think they should have done a lot more like on the nose.
Right.
Everybody should have, like, they're like, I guess he was a hero. No. If you say he was a hero, then he was a hero.
Right.
I don't want to give it to Nuisance. I really don't.
I think you have to, though.
But for this, our fans voted Jar Jar Binks, Nuisance. But this week's question.
But you know what else?
Sir.
Black people appreciated the way I fought for him as a hero, which I appreciate, too. Thank
good.
You very much. All right, go ahead.
God bless. This week's debate is Ewoks versus Wookiees!
Bring the bell, damn it!
Oh, we should get a bell.
Yeah.
I have one. So the way this is going to work, in case you missed last week, is one of us is going to take a stance for Wookiees, one of us is going to take a stance for Ewoks. Each person is going to get 90 seconds, and once that 90 seconds is up, that's it.
Okay.
And it's going to be left up to the audience.
All right, who's going first?
John?
Yeah.
You went first last time.
I did?
No. So why don't you go first this time?
No, you went first last time.
Did I go? Yeah,
yes,
I did. So,
yes.
So you go first this
okay.
time.
Okay, all right. What are we talking about? Oh, where's the clock? Did it start? Ready and go. All right, let's talk about Wookiees. They are 6'11". Let me say this again. 6'11". They are incredibly intelligent, technically advanced. Look at Chewbacca jumping inside of the AT-ST, figuring out how to use it so quickly on Endor. Why is that? Because they're incredibly intelligent. They're smart. Lucas could have still hit that thing about a primal culture. They didn't have to be stupid. Primal doesn't mean stupid. The Egyptians built pyramids. Give me a break. So it would have still worked within the thing. And it would have still been possible to sell merchandising. It just makes more sense to have used Wookiees. Chewbacca had earned his right. Once again, this is another version of Chewbacca being a second-class citizen. He got pushed aside for these little furry nobodies. And look, little people need to work. I respect the fact they need to work. That's actors. I'm all for it. But Wookiees were so badass, it would have made Jedi the best film of the entire canon of films. I'm telling you, it would have. Empire Strikes Back is fantastic. You put Wookiees on a planet, you have them fighting. You could also play the Avatar thing. You have Primal. You have this idea of the blue aliens. Like, you have these people trying to come in and colonize them and push their ways to the side. It would have been so much more interesting to see Wookiees do that. Plus, we would have explored more of Chewbacca's world. We would have talked about Kashyyyk, the life dead. Maybe he'd got a son. Maybe you'd redeemed that Christmas special. You could have done so much with the Wookiees that would have been so interesting to see them explore. And you would have explored this idea of Han Solo, how they came to be, how they became friends, how they got connected. We would have seen more of that fleshed out instead of seeing little furry, irritating Ewoks. If the Empire could be killed by Ewoks, how powerful are they?
All right.
I need two more minutes. I need two more minutes.
May I talk now, please?
Yes.
May I talk? Okay. So that was very animated.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Thank you.
But I guess my time started.
Yes, get it. Go
All right. Ewoks, you mentioned yourself. Oh, Wookiees are 6'11". Ewoks took them down and can take down anybody 3-4 times their size because they took down the walkers. You said that yourself they defeated the Empire. You said yourself that Wookiees need to redeem themselves from the holiday specials, whereas Ewoks got animated shorts and live action shorts to prove that they were a success when it comes to marketing. It technically sound versus pure instinct. Pure warbound instinct. Yes, they may have killed other humans that arose on the moon.
You think?
Because where did they get that dress for Leia?
Right.
Whatever looks better on her. Doesn't matter who had it before. They're intrigued by what they consider magic. That's just technologically sound. They provided the soundtrack for every Star Wars nerd party with Yub Nub. They know how to do it. I'm all about the Yub Nub step. Personally, when I'm in the club, I rock out to Yub Nub Step. Skrillex, an ancient high chief of the Ewok tribe. I think what Wookiees have in size, Ewoks make up for in numbers, and I think that's, I mean, that's really all, my whole argument.
Can I counter?
We said 90 seconds and that was it. So final thought, Ewoks instinct over technically sound. They did everything that came naturally and ended up helping defeat one of the biggest cells that took over the galaxy, which was the Empire. There, 90 seconds.
Damn it.
That was a good debate.
It was. Shake hands. Photo op. Cool. Yes. All right, thank you.
All right, there it is.
So let us know on Facebook, on Twitter, who you think had the better argument, whether you believe that or not. Were you swayed? We are going to post this on our Twitter and on our Facebook. Make sure you follow along. These are getting more and more fun, more and more intense.
Agree.
I will say I felt less like Scott Mance that time.
Good. I'm not attacking you.
No. Nobody's attacking anybody. We're all having a great time.
Right. And for clarification's sake, I've never attacked Scott Mance on a debate.
No, just before and after the cameras go on and off. I absolutely love them. But yes, next week we're going to have an entirely new... rolling out some new stuff on the show, so make sure you tune in. We are live every Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Apologies to our European audience who is staying up super late to watch us live, but we want to make it worth your while if you are spending the time to be with us. And I think that's our show, John.
Yeah, that's our show. All right, thanks. I want to thank Mark for... Mark, where can people find you here?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Also, if you're a wrestling fan, watch X-Pac 12360 on the AfterBuzz TV network. And we do so much great stuff here at Popcorn Talk. Make sure to follow Video Game Movie Anatomy, Action Movie Anatomy, Sci-Fi Weekly. We just started doing a monster movie matchup where people put monsters up against each other and why they would fight. Sort of like the Duel of the Fates that we did.
I love that.
But with movie monsters. It's a lot of fun. Make sure to check all of that out. They're great. How about you, John?
X-Pac! You guys can always find me at The Rocha Says, R-O-C-H-A-S-A-Y-S. You see all the shows I'm hosting, co-hosting, all the shows I do in terms of podcasts like The Cinephiles and the new one, Super Animation Game Time, that is over on the Twitch channel for Geek & Sundry. Your Lowenthal and I interview one person in the world of video game, animation, and voiceover and talk about how they got there. And we talk all, it isn't just actors, directors, writers, producers, agents, everything. We cover everything so that you can enjoy and listen and learn something. And also, of course, the Top 10 show on the Collider Network every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Just did American War Films coming out, and I think we will be doing next week Top 10 Tom Cruise films. Yes, I can announce stuff now. Why not? That's what we're doing. So I want to thank all of you all for joining us. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter at Jedi Alliance and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.